Blog Talk Radio.
Looking at these different
aspects of the weapons that the Most High gives us to fight this battle. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and this battle, the battlefield, is actually the mind of each individual. And so we have to look at the tools that he gives us to fight these battles. And one of the first things that he tells us is to girt your loins with truth as a weapon, part of your armor. So we're going to look into that this morning. But we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Whether you are in North America or South America, if you're on the African continent, in the European theater, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the communist countries that we are now reaching into, I got to look and see how to pronounce that name again. But Russia and China, and there's another little small offshoot of Russia, little small country. But we greet them, all of you, in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we pray that you are able to receive the word of the Most High on this morning and that you're able to worship him wherever you may be at, in spirit and in truth and in freedom. So greetings to everyone. I pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this morning. I want to say good morning to all the saints. And we're going to start off with our statement of faith. And I hear my voice cracking already, so I need to get me something to drink here. Have been up early this morning, going before the Most High, wanting to know what it is that he wanted me to teach on this morning. And so he just told me to continue in, you know, what we started last night. And so that's where we are at on this morning. But we're going to be looking at the spirit, what is truth, and continue in that vein. So let us do our statement of faith. Let me pull this up. Let us start off with our statement of faith. And we will proceed from there, pray in, and go from there. All right. I believe that all scripture, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads wherever you're at in the world, or Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise on this his day that he said that we should honor him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, Father. We come before you, Father, to spend time with you on this morning, Father, to hear your word and to learn about you, Father. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. We want to thank you, Father, for giving us a sound mind. Hallelujah. And a mind to be on you, Father, and to obey your voice. We thank you, Father, for providing for us each and every day, for making a way for us, hallelujah. And we just glorify you on this morning, for you are our Elohim, and there is no other, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim, Elohim of Elohim, King of Kings. You are my Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. So, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. But we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, so turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel. Hear our supplications and our prayers, and deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let's go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. No, let's go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And if you tried to get into the meeting room on this morning, I have the site down for upgrading. I need to update some files and try to get rid of some of the performance issues. So you won't be able to get in there until maybe this evening. But it's down for right now. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize this morning. So read along, but I'm going to personalize it because for me, when I personalize the scriptures, it just to me and becomes more real for me. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us captive, away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart, and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance. Thou brought us forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar, as we are commanded to do in his Sabbath days and in his feast days.
Shalom, which means peace. The selection of songs you're about to hear are sung in the ancient tongue of Hebrew. Lashawan Kodash, which means the holy tongue. For our forefathers told us in their writings that the things uttered in Hebrew and translated into another tongue have not the same force in them. And not only these things, but the law itself and the prophets and the rest of the books have no small difference when they are spoken in their own language. Qam lama al yasha'ala, which means to rise, O Israel, and prepare to hear the words of the Most High sung in the ancient tongue of Hebrew. This is the tongue of the children of Israel. And when you search throughout the scriptures, all the original texts were written in the language of Hebrew and describe our forefathers and the children of Israel. As it says in the Songs of Solomon, Ani Shakur, I am black. As it also says in the book of Revelation, as it describes our Lord and Savior, who you call Jesus Christ, but whose Hebrew name is Yahawashah, because he is deliverer, to help us in these last days to return back to who we are, the children of Israel. So as you prepare your spirit to partake of the holy tongue of our forefathers, open your heart, your mind, and your soul, and receive these words in the ancient tongue of our forefathers, the tongue Lashawan Kodash, the holy tongue in the language of Hebrew. Shema, which means to listen. Shalom.
Above, how
All right. Amen. 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 You know, it's something about when the real people sing the song in their own native tongue. It's something about, it just sounds so good to me. When I listened to that song sung by, let's say, the Ashkenazi Jews, it just don't have the same effect as when we sing it. The soul that we give to it is just something else that amazes me. Makes me want to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, on this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we're going to be getting verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. One of the first pieces of your armor, the truth. And so we want to talk about on this morning, what is truth? Because, you know, we got science out there. We got all these different religions out there. And so we want to find out from our King and our Savior, our Elohim, what does he say is truth? And as a disciple, we have to really take this to heart because, you know, for me, if you cannot believe everything that you read in the Word of the Most High, then you shouldn't be reading it at all. If you find something that you believe is untrue, a lie, in the Word of God, in the Word of the Most High, then you should not read any of it at all. Because how do you know what's truth and what's a lie? If you're not going to believe it all. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And let's see what our word says. What is truth? The book of John, chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of the Most High is truth. And you have to believe it. Can I say, well, you know, I can believe this part, but I can't believe with that part. I believe these things, but I can't get with that because it goes against my personal beliefs that, you know, men and women should be treated this way. Whatever the word of the Most High says, that's truth, whether you are a male or a female, whether you are black or white, red or green, whether you are saved or unsaved, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, his word is still truth. But we as his disciples have to, barring anything else, take his word for being truth. We have to believe it. And what we don't understand, then we have to ask the Most High to clarify it for us, to give us understanding. Send someone to explain this to me. Give it to me in a vision or in a dream. I need to understand that I can walk right before you. So let's go to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Because we're looking at the armor. And with the armor says the first thing that you have to start off with is to girt yourself, your underpinning, with the truth. Your loins, that's like your underwear. Before you put on your clothes, you're going to put on your underwear, and the truth has to be like your underwear. So you want to girt your loins with the truth. You want to girt your loins, the underpinnings of your mind, with his truth, his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. All scripture. Now, where, you know, they have taken out the Apocrypha and, you know, the Bible as we know it today, we can say that it was canonized by some men. But on top of that, you gotta also, well, I can't say you gotta do this. I'm gonna say this is what I have done, okay, to help me in my walk. I serve the true and living Elohim, the Most High Elohim. There is nobody higher than him. There is nobody more powerful than him. If he cannot protect his word, then he can't be Elohim. So whatever men try to do, what he wants to be known is going to always get printed. It's going to always be there for us. And so whatever they have done in the canonization of the scriptures, it is by his will. He has allowed or disallowed. And I accept that by faith, because he has to be able to protect his word, and I know that he is able to. If he can stop this planet from spinning, if he can cause water to come out of a rock that only produces fire, surely he can protect his own word, because he stands on his own word. His own word. Everything in the universe stands on it. And if his word fails, the universe fails. Because by his word, he created everything. So all scripture, however the Most High allows it to be brought forth, how they want to translate it. That's why he says, you must have the Ruach HaKodesh. You must have his spirit. Not just to belong to him, but to give you understanding. Even if they try to change something, his spirit, the author of the book, will say, you know what? This is what that means. This is what was intended there. And show you how you can navigate it. But he's able to protect his own word. So all scripture, all of it, is given by the inspiration of Elohim himself. And is profitable for doctrine, for what you believe in, for reproof, for correcting people, for instruction in righteousness. You got to understand that his word is truth. And all the scriptures that have been written, retranslated from one language to another, in the original form, the truth is there and untainted. When it's translated into another language, then he will cause for the truth to be printed. And he might have to give you understanding in your spirit. He might have to say, hey, that word love right there don't exactly mean what you call love. Go look at the original word and see what I said there and see how they translated it back in the language that you're using so that you get understanding, so that you walk in my truth, you walk in my ways, that you use this word for doctrine and you can understand the doctrine, that you use it to reproof people, in other words, to rebuke them and to correct them. And to instruct in righteousness, because this is what he wants from us to walk in righteousness. So we got to be girded with the truth of his word. That means that we have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And I know we should all know this if we study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, not unto men. Most High, is this correct what I'm thinking? When I'm reading this word, is this correct? Is my understanding sound? You're not to be approved of men. You don't have to go to a seminary school and learn the doctrines of men. The only one that needs to teach you really is the Most High. But you got to seek him out. You got to ask him. You got to and believe that he's going to answer you. That he's going to give you clarity. While you're driving down the road, going to wherever you're going, and you just happen to look at a sunset or you look at a sign, and the answer to what you were asking the Most High just shows up. Either just pops into your head, or it shows up on a sign, or it's in a commercial, or some little kid says something. It don't make no sense, but it made sense to you, because the Most High was answering you, your request. So we have to study to show ourselves approved unto Elohim and go to him. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That rightly dividing, a lot of people believe that means dividing up the scriptures here a little, there a little. But that's not what that really means. That means teaching it in truth, teaching it correctly, teaching the word correctly, not dividing it up, because you can divide it up in so many different ways and still have it wrong. You might think this is a prophecy, and it's not a prophecy. So it's about teaching the word of truth correctly to the saints so that they walk before the Most High in spirit and in truth. Go to the book of Psalms 119. The book of Psalms 119. We're going to get Psalms 119 and verse 151. Psalms 119 and 151. Thou art near, O Yah, and all thy commandments are truth. Can't say that the Most High gives a commandment that is not true, that is not just. Because, you know, a lot of things we look at in the scriptures, a lot of people have a problem. They have a problem with the way the Most High operates. They have a problem with, oh, if he would kill all these people, he can't be my God. What type of God would kill all those people? Men, women, and children. But you got to accept his word, all of his commandments. When he decides to destroy a people, he has already judged and predetermined that these people have earned this punishment. And who are you to question the Most High, your creator, your redeemer? Most High, shouldn't you have given him a chance to repent? You don't know if he did or not, but it's up to him. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It's all in my wheelhouse. And if I choose not to have mercy, what is that to you? You better be concerned what I'm going to do to you. Because we don't give him his sovereignty. We don't put him in the place that, hey, he is all-powerful and everybody and everything answers to him. He don't answer to nobody. Everything answers to him. And be thankful that he is a just and righteous Elohim. Because if he wasn't and he's all-powerful, we would be in trouble. That's why he says, as my children, I will not allow you to come forth and express your godhood being evil. So if you are a sinful person and you walk in evilness, the Most High says, no. I'm going to retard yourself, you, and I'm going to bind you and throw you in that fire. But I'm not going to let you come forth and express your godhood like I'm going to let the good ones express theirs. Because I cannot allow evil to go unchecked. I cannot give you my power and let you be evil. So thank the Most High that he is a righteous Elohim. And he is a just Elohim. And all his ways are righteousness and just. Because if it was the other way, this truly would be hell. Consider those things. His commandments are truth. Whatever he says to do. Drop down to verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Every one of his righteous judgments, all of his judgments are righteous. And they all are going to endure forever, whether we like them or not. That's why when he comes back and sits on his throne, the truth of the matter is he's going to invoke all of his judgments. So let you have a hard-headed child. Let there be children being born at that time, and they are hard-headed. His judgment already going to stand. This is what's going to happen. Let the fornicator, somebody go into fornication. He's not going to wait like he's waiting today. You got a mind you want to fornicate? Okay, the penalty for that is death. Kill him right there. In Luke chapter 19, Messiah himself says, all those who would not have me to rule over them, who didn't want me to rule over them, that didn't want to obey my voice, that didn't want to keep my commandments, bring them here and kill them before me, in front of me. Truth. But you're not going to ever hear a church tell you that. Messiah is going to have all you unbelievers, all you disobedient ones, brought before him and killed in front of him. You know, and it's like he's going to enjoy it. Bring him here. That one was disobedient. Bring him right here. Kill him in front of me. That's in his word. That's truth. He says, so you need to obey all of my commandments. You need to obey all of my judgments. And you can't overturn my judgment. There is no court of appeal higher than me. Somebody else can pronounce a judgment on you, and you can appeal to me. You can take it up the chain. But the buck or the judgment stops here, whatever I say. If man gives you a death sentence and I don't want you to die, I'll change their hearts concerning you. I'll take it out of their hands. And they won't know why they're pronouncing you innocent, but because I pronounced you innocent. And at the same token, if I want you to be guilty, then it don't matter what they say. I will make them make you guilty. Because I have the last say. My judgments are the ones that matter, and they are going to endure forever. This is truth. It's not going to change. And this is where, you know, when we got into this discipleship and we got into the fear of the Most High, when we first got into that precept, it was because the Most High showed me that his own people, Israel, would not follow his judgment. Oh, we'll keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, so we say. But when it came down to his judgment, this is how I judge on this matter. Oh, no, Most High, we don't agree with that judgment. We'll come up with one of our own. Oh, so you think you're more righteous than I am. Went about to establish your own righteousness above mine. He says, but my judgments are going to endure forever. So when I resurrect you, when I come to take the seat in my kingdom, you're going to come and answer for all that to me. Truth. Because it's going to endure forever. It's not going to change. And when we think that, you know, we can get around his word, get around his truth, then we're only deceiving ourselves. We're only fooling ourselves. Understand that his judgments, his righteous judgments, endure forever, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not. Truth of the matter is, let's just put it where the goats can get it. If you call yourself his disciple, his pupil, then you have to go by his judgments, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, everything he says, period. Can't be in disagreement with it. He don't give that option to us. Or as my student, you can think about what I say the way you want to think. He don't give you that option. So if you don't want to think the way that he thinks, if you don't want to believe the way that he believes, then surely you don't want to be his disciple. You're not trying to be like him. You're trying to take what you can of him and then still be yourself. He does not give us that option. I want all of you, your whole heart. Go back up to verse 43, Psalms 119 and verse 43. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. As his disciple, all of our hope is in him, in every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Messiah said it last night, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. And so we are asking him not to take the word of truth utterly out of our mouth so that we're not even speaking truth. We're reading the scriptures. We're trying to teach people, and there ain't a bit of truth in us because we have denied him. We have not accepted his whole word as truth. We want to cherry pick. Well, I can believe this. I believe somewhat about this way. And you know, if you listen to me, I'm very literal when it comes to the word. I try really not to interpret where there is no need to interpret. Very literal. If it says the sky is purple, the sky was purple until he explains why the sky was purple. You go outside and look, well, the sky ain't purple to me. But the Most High said the sky was purple. And I'm making something up here just so that we can see this as an exaggeration. But if it said the sky was purple, then the sky was purple until he explained. So he gives understanding. So we don't want him to utterly take the word of truth out of our mouth. Because if he causes us to believe a lie, and the Most High will cause you to believe a lie, if he determines that you are wicked and evil, he will cause you to believe a lie. Because you chose to believe the lie, he will cement it in your heart and in your mind. You can't get away from it because he's not allowing you to escape from it now. He's not allowing you to repent. He has that kind of power and authority. Oh, you think you can confront me like that? You think you can say whatever you want to say? You think you can change my word into a lie and get away with it? And because you weren't seeking me out, I'm going to cause you to believe that. I'm going to let you believe it. I'm not going to let you not believe it. Nobody's going to be able to convince you that what you're hearing and what you're saying is a lie. I'm going to take the truth utterly out of your mouth and out of your mind. See, we serve an Elohim that will do that. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 7. And now, O Yah, Elohim, thou art Elohim, and thy words are true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. The Most High has made us so many promises, both in the positive and in the negative. If you obey my voice, indeed, these are the blessings you're going to get. And if you disobey my voice, indeed, these are the punishments you're going to get. His promises. We want to be on the good side. of his promises. We want to know and believe that what he has promised, he's going to do. Both good to the righteous, and that he's going to do the bad to the wicked. His truth. His words, that he is, everything that comes out of his mouth. So when we read it, we have to believe it. This is our undergirding. This is what we cover our loins, our nakedness with. This is the foundation of our thought process. First of all, when we read his word, we believe everything is true. I didn't start off that way. My walk with the Most High and reading his Bible didn't start that way. So I can testify to this. I first started off in reading the scriptures, trying to disprove the scriptures, thinking that everybody uses the scriptures for a crutch, those that believe, that they were using it for a crutch. And the more I read, the more the Most High proved to me that his word is true. And after he filled me with the Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit, then my first request to the Most High is, make this book like a fourth grade book to me. I want to understand. And I want to be able to read it and get what it is that you want for me out of this. So please, I don't care about money. I don't care about riches. I don't care about wealth. I don't care about these worldly possessions. Give me understanding in your word that I might teach it. That was my request to the Most High. And he made this book like a fourth grade book to me. He fulfilled my request. So we have to want it. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 9. The fear of Yah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yah are true and righteous altogether. So as I say to each one of you, wherever you're listening at, you should do a study yourself on the judgment of the Most High. And some of them you may not like, depending upon where you're at and your understanding of the Most High and what you consider to be Elohim, because everybody's got this definition of who and what Elohim is. Some people don't have no clue at all, just God. But what does that mean to you? God. But they can't define what God is to them. But when you know that he is, that word sovereign, he answers to no one. And a being that answers to no one and that is all powerful, you don't want to mess with that being. You don't want to make them mad. You really don't. And what I see is people really don't have a clue. Most people don't really have a clue when it comes to their Elohim, the one that they're claiming. The fear of Yah is clean. He says this stuff so many times all over the place that you know, I know people say, brother, is that all you know? That's all I need to know. If I can get that down, he says, you have understanding because you know to fear me. You know to obey what I say. You know that I'm not playing. Clean. Unobfuscated. You know, not blurred. Just straightforward. Fear me. First thing, so all over this book, the truth, the fear of him is clean, enduring forever. Y'all gonna fear me forever, and everything I create is gonna fear me forever. It's gonna have respect of me, and more than just respect, it's gonna have a deep-seated reverence that you don't mess with the Most High. And only the unlearned and anything that's not, even rocks know to fear the Most High. A rock. His creation, the mountains. He shows up. Everything pays homage to him. Except for what he chose to say, this is my child. But when we get understanding, when we get the truth, and we accept and we have understanding, then we know we have to fear him. And we know that his judgments are true, meaning that they are faithful. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. If you obey me, I will bless you and I'll give you all these promises, everything that I promised you, and give it to you in abundance. Messiah said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So you're going from this 120 years that I promised you to infinity. Life, and that more abundantly. But not just that, your quality of life. You're not going to be sick. You're not going to die. You're not going to starve. You can be in wherever you want to be. And you won't die. Because I'm going to make you immortal. I'm going to make you eternal. The Most High says, you know what? I made you in the beginning in a way that you are here. And I made you to be eternal from the beginning. But I put a caveat on that. You are here, and as long as you don't sin, you will live forever. That was to Adam and Eve. There was no death in the world. But the Most High says, but if you are disobedient, then I'm going to take away your eternity. I'm going to take away your eternal life. And that's what the Messiah came to give us back. Through our disobedience, the disobedience of Adam and Eve, mankind lost eternal life. And that life was supposed to be on this planet. And this planet was designed to bring forth in abundance so that man could multiply. And as long as man was righteous and good, he could fill up the earth and the earth would still produce whatever man needed. Enough food, enough water, enough air. It would just bring forth in abundance. But the earth got cursed because of man. And the earth does not bring forth as it was intended to, but it's going to bring forth again. And so from the very beginning, it was his desire that we should have eternal life as long as we obeyed his voice. You know, that's something, because now the Most High says, all right, everything I have, I want it to be eternal. I want to enjoy you eternally. I don't want you to be here for a couple of seconds and then you're gone like a puff of smoke, because that's how he describes our lives. For him, we're like a puff of smoke. We're here. You see the puff of smoke. The wind blows up. The puff of smoke gone. He says, no, I want you to be eternal. That's what I intended for you. So in the end, I'm going to make you all eternal, both good and bad. The bad ones ain't going to like their eternity. And the good ones will have life, and that more abundantly, the way I intended for it to be from the very beginning. Fear him. That's just a clean way to be in your mind. Wipe your mind clean. First thing write down. First thing to put in it. Fear the Most High. Fear him. And realize that his judgments are true and righteous altogether. His commandments are true. This word is truth that he had written for our benefit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll get verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We then, as workers, together with him, Mashiach, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of Elohim in vain. Now, I've heard people teach on the grace of Elohim. They'll say the blood is the grace. But his grace is that he doesn't kill us. He's not killing us right away. That as soon as we sin, death doesn't come. The judgment doesn't come right away. But that also causes people to not believe that maybe he doesn't really exist. Or maybe he's all forgiving like he said that he is. But I forgive those that love me. I'm forgiving under certain conditions. And when I forgive you, I will forgive you as though it never even happened. But you got to first show me that you love me. So he says, I'm not going to judge you, because I could put a word into the world, and I can give commandments to the angels. As soon as you see somebody sin, kill them. As soon as you see anything in my creation acting like I did not design it to act, destroy it. He could do that. Thank Elohim that he hasn't, because none of us would be here. So when he selected our forefathers to take for himself a people, an inheritance, and he began to teach them his ways, we learned that when they disobeyed, judgment came right then. And we find a few places where the Most High didn't kill them right away. Very few places. But the more hard-headed they became, the more he started to inflict his judgment. I said, don't do that. Why do you always disobey my commandments? How long will I have to put up with you? He's telling Moses it's about the people. Then he's like, okay, enough is enough. Transgress, bam, death comes. You confront me, bam, death comes. And it was coming right away. Wasn't waiting for them to die and come before him like we people teach today, because that don't even happen. It's never been that way. Said, you messed up. You want to be presumptuous? You want to confront my man or my woman that is serving me? Like when they came up against Moses, we're priests just like you are, the Korites. We're priests just like you are. Moses said, okay, if you preach like we are, go get your censers. Tomorrow, show up here at the temple, at the tabernacle. Bring your censers and burn incense before the Most High. And these dummies did it because they really believed the lie in their brain that they were just like the priesthood. No, you're a Levite, but you are not in the high priest family. Your job was to sing in the chorus, sing in the choir, or carry the altar, or break down the tent. But your job was not to be before the Most High burning incense, and you want to put yourself on that level, like you are face to face with the Most High. So they show up the next day with their censers, 250 of them. And the Most High burns them to a crisp in a couple of seconds. A crisp. Ashes. In a couple of seconds. The only things left on the ground is their censers that they were burning that incense in. You ain't authorized to do that. And then Moses gathered up their censers and had Aaron to melt them down and make a special covering for the altar. And that covering was to remind Aaron and his sons, this is what happens to those people who are disobedient. This is what he did to those that tried to take your job. He didn't play. So don't take his grace in vain. The fact that he's not killing you right away. The fact that when you messed up, death didn't come immediately. That's his grace. You have a chance to repent. And don't repent halfway. Repent with your whole heart. Repent and mean it. Turn away from it. I ain't doing that no more because I fear what he's going to do to me. It didn't come today, but he told me that if I didn't do right by him, it would not turn out good for me. You got to believe that. Verse 2, for he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. I've nurtured you. I have fed you with milk. I have babied you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this is to each generation. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't say, I got till tomorrow. I can come to the Most High tomorrow. I'll get right tomorrow. I'm going to start doing better. No, you better commit in your heart at that very second, I am going to do better, and start doing it, because you might not wake up tomorrow. You know, we live this life as though tomorrow is promised to us. But when it comes to your eternity, when it comes to the promises of the Most High and what he's going to do and his truth, You don't want to play with that. You don't want to put that off. That's like saying, you know what? They're having a 90% off sale at Kmart or Target or whatever, and it's some stuff that you really want, and they've practically given it away for free. And you say, you know what? I'll go down there. I'll go down there right before they close. And then you get there, and they tell you, we ran out. You should have got here while we had it. And you missed out. Don't let your salvation be the same way. I got time to change. I got time to get right with the Most High. No, today is the day of salvation. Right here, right now. Last night, somebody went to bed, didn't wake up this morning. For whatever the reason, they're not here. Some of them knew they weren't going to be here. Some of them had no clue they would not be here. Somebody went and laid across the bed, thought they were going to take a nap, had a heart attack, heart stop. They were fully intending to get back up. So don't take your grace period for granted. Verse 3. Give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. We're not supposed to go out there and be just offending people for the sake of offending them because we just want to be hateful and mean and malicious. It's one thing telling people the truth. It's another thing just being hateful. He says, don't cause anybody to want to come to me because of the way you act. That they blame me because of the way you act. Give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Don't stop the word of the Most High from going forth and being accepted by those who it's going to be accepted by because you and your hurt. You really only doing this because you want to get eternal life, but you really don't love the Most High, you really don't fear him, and you're only doing it because that's what it says it's required to do. But you don't understand that you really got to learn to love this and want it with your whole heart. So you upset and you mad, And it shows in the way that you treat people. You're so stupid. Why can't you pick this stuff up? It's easy. No. Should be doing this with love. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of Elohim in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Patience. Being patient with people because they don't understand. Be willing to explain it to them over and over and over and over again until they do understand. As long as they have a desire, as long as they are showing a will, have patience with them. In afflictions. It says Messiah was afflicted. If you start telling the truth, trust me, you're not going to be well liked. Everybody's not going to be running after you. And the only reason why they ran after Messiah was because of the food and the miracles. And he told them that. You only here because I fed you yesterday, or you only here because I healed you. You only here because you can see there's something for you to get right now. So don't think that if you're telling them the truth that they're going to run behind you, because they're not. Unless you got something to give them other than this word. Unless you're telling them lies, you're making them feel good. That's where all these different doctrines, the feel-good doctrine and the prosperity doctrines, that's where they come from. How are we going to get these people to stay? We tell them the truth, they ain't going to stay. And the Most High caused them even to believe their own lies. Make it a doctrine. A lie, a doctrine. And they believe it. Can't make them unbelieve it. In afflictions, you're going to be afflicted. Believe that. In necessity, if you're not trying to please yourself, then if you're doing the right thing, the Most High is going to make sure you got what's necessary in all things. But if you're not totally walking in his way, you're going to see some things. You're going to fall short in some things. In distress. Always somebody in trouble. Always somebody in a spiritual battle. Always somebody doing something they ain't got no business doing. Always somebody choosing to do evil. Whether it's a loved one or whether it's a friend, whether it's just a stranger out in the world. And we're to minister to them all. I don't believe any of us have suffered in stripes. None of us been beat or hit for the word of the Most High. I haven't yet. And I'm telling you, I'm not looking forward to that day. But if it came, then so be it. That's why he says, we have not suffered unto blood. And most of the church has not suffered unto blood. Been hit for the word of Yah. Been beat for the word of Yah. Been killed for the word of Yah. We find it a struggle just to do right, much less believe on this thing so hard that somebody would want to kill you for it because you told them the truth and they didn't want to hear it. Because you came against their doctrine and told them that it was a lie and proved it to them and they didn't want to hear it. Would rather see you dead. We have not suffered unto blood. We have not suffered in stripes, in imprisonment. We have not been out there and had a crowd come at us because we have been teaching the truth and they are angry and they want to stone you. They want to take you and lynch you. All because you're telling them the truth and it's convicting to them. You know, just like we've heard on the news where they are, what is this doctrine that they wanted to start teaching in schools concerning our history and how the white part of America benefited from our labor and our backs and how they mistreated us as a people? Oh, no, we don't want you to make us feel guilty. We don't want you making our children feel guilty. Can't be teaching that. Critical race. I think they call it critical race thinking or something like that. Oh, no, you can't be teaching that. We do not want our children to feel guilty for what our forefathers did. We don't want them to feel guilty for what we did. That's straight up what they're saying. don't want to feel guilty. And you're going to have people that don't want to hear the truth of this word. Could be your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your child. They're not going to want to hear the truth because it's contrary to what they want to do. So don't make me feel guilty. Because the first thing you make somebody feel guilty, the first thing they're going to say is, you can't judge me. It's not about judging you. It's about telling you the truth. And the truth shall set you free, unless you don't want to be set free. You want to stay in bondage. So now the truth has made you angry. So you might suffer in tumult. And you know, you're out there and you are busy doing the ministry. Like, you know, I don't totally agree with everything that a lot of the Hebrew brothers be doing on the corners. The fact that they're out on the corners shows that they have some bravery and some strength. But the fact of what they're doing and what they're saying is not of the Most High. That's the problem. They're in love with being a Hebrew. Not in love with the Most High and salvation. They're in love that they're a Hebrew. And what they feel like they're going to get because of the way that the nations treated us. They don't understand that if they act the same way, they're going to get the same punishment. So we can't do, no matter what the scriptures say. Scriptures tell us that we're supposed to be meek and humble. And the Most High says, I will repay. So I'm gonna make all those that are called by my name that mistreated you. I will make them your servants. You won't. And you're not going to be able to treat them like they treated you. So all of you that are wanting revenge, guess what? Go get in the line with them, because that's the line you're going to be in. You're no better than them. Not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those that are meek and that are humble, that are kind, that are long-suffering. Yeah, you got mistreated, but I'll make it all good. You got to believe that. Stop trying to take it into your own hands. In labor. What are you laboring at? Because, see, we labor every day to get what we want. But do we labor at the ministry that the Most High has given us all? Now, I'm content just to be here and try to make it. Most High says, I gave you a ministry. I gave you a gift to work within a ministry, male and female. Are you just going to sit on your hands? Or are you going to put your hand to the plow? Wherever I put you at in the body, are you going to do it with your whole heart? Are you going to be content where I put you at? If I made you a foot and you wanted to be the brain, are you going to be content where I put you at? If I made you a hand for help, but you wanted to be a mouth, are you going to be content where I put you at, where I put you to labor at? Because, see, that's the problem. Everybody wants to be what they want to be, but they don't want to be where Messiah puts them at in the body. And then on top of that, they want to try to determine where people belong at in the body. Oh, if you are of this race, you can't do this. Only the Most High can say that. Only Messiah can say that. It's his body. He puts you where he wants you to be at. And he's the head. Are you going to labor where he puts you at? Or do you think, oh, no, that's beneath me. I'm better than that. I always had dreams and aspirations that I would be this. How is it that the Most High is only allowing me to do that? I'm not doing that. I will sit back. I won't do anything. I'll take care of my own. No. Most High says you're going to find yourself in the lake. Believing on me. But just as disobedient and stiff-necked, as hard-headed as you want to be. In watching, something that I know I need to do more of, watching. Fasting. We need to do more of those. They don't have to be 3 days fast or 40-day fast. Be a one-day fast, a two-day fast, a three-day fast. A 40-day fast, the Most High better have called you to that. Because if you don't complete it, you call a 40-day fast and you mess it up, day 20, guess what? You got to start all over again. And you don't get to not do it. You got to start all over again. And go 40 days. And you mess up in day 39? Guess what? You got to start all over again. You don't say, oops, I messed up today. I only got one more day to do. The Most High says, uh-uh, that ain't my rules. My rules are you messed up. You have corrupted your vow. It is no longer good for me. I'm not going to honor it. You got to start over. So we be calling some crazy things and then we don't complete them. And think that the Most High is going to honor us. And he's not. If he calls you to a 40-day fast, you better make sure it's he that called you to it. And that you're going to do it. By pureness, not by, you know, some ill-begotten thought in our mind that, hey, I want to do this, you know, because it's going to make me look good. I want to make this do this because it's going to impress so-and-so. I'm doing this for the Most High because I want to look good in front of men. I got on my phylacteries, and I got on my tassels, and I got on my long robes, and I want to look as Hebrew as possible, that men might see me. The heart is not pure. Let me give this sister the word, and at the same time, let me see if I can get this sister. Let me give this brother the word, and at the same time, let me see if I can get this brother. Motivation is not pure. By knowledge, be studied in the word. Be studied in the world. Know what men do. Know the worldly systems. Know how they conflict with the word of the Most High. Know where they are contrary. Know where they take their standards from the Most High. Oh, so that's good, but that part ain't good. Because even the Most High says, even the Gentiles, when they do what is in the law and they don't know what the law is, they don't have the law, they become a law unto themselves because they're doing what is righteous in the eyes of the Most High, even though he didn't tell them to. They have a form of godliness. Don't mean everything that they're doing is right, but everything that they're doing ain't wrong. You got to be able to discern that by knowledge. Got to know this word by long suffering. Not going to always go the way you want it to go. Got to be willing to endure even when times are bad. Excuse me, by kindness, genuine kindness, because it's just who you are. I'm doing this from the kindness of my heart. I don't want any repayment for it. I'm not asking you for anything back in return, just kindness, because you need it. By the Ruach HaKodesh. And why it puts that in this place, in this verse, it is what it is. But I, you know, for me, had I been writing this, that would have been first. By the Spirit of the Most High. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Is that without the Ruach, you're just none of his. He tells us that. If I don't give you my spirit, you are none of mine. You can say what you want to say. You can claim me all you want to claim me, but you don't belong to me. That should be number one. But then again, that's just me. By love, unfeigned, unpretentious. Not wanting anything in return. But just loving because that is just the way that you are. And that's what you are going to be and do. I love you because you're able to pay the bills. I love you because of what you can do for me. I love you because you make me laugh. You know, we have a lot of different reasons for loving. Most I says, just make sure that your love is unfeigned, that you're not pretending. I thought I loved you. I thought I felt that way about you. But really, I don't love you. Never have. Got too many people in relationships like that. When they no longer can get what they want out of the relationship, is it truly about love and long suffering? Don't feel the same way about you anymore. No. I don't want to be here. Had a change of heart. True love, you don't ever stop doing. Can't stop doing because it's just what it is. And even when it hurts you, it's hard to let it go. Verse 7. By the word of truth. Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. By the word of truth, so you just tell them the truth. You can't do anything else. Don't teach them lies. Because then you're going to cause them to be hurt by the power of the Most High. Rather than being helped by the Most High. Because they chose to believe you and to believe a lie. And now they got the Most High against them. And not for them. You want to give them the truth so that the Most High is for them. That his power is not coming against them, but for them. By the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left side. Be girded in your armor of righteousness by doing right. Don't be doing right this minute and the next minute you're doing wrong. Don't be doing right this morning and this evening you're doing wrong. You got to always be doing what's right in the eyes of the Most High, on the left hand and on the right, by honor and dishonor. Because some people can come to you and bestow honor on you, and some people can come to you and dishonor you. You're still supposed to love them. You're still supposed to love them unseen. You're still supposed to suffer it. By evil report and by good report. Some people are going to be able to hear what you say and give a good report. Some people are going to hear what you say and give an evil report. You suffer it for the kingdom. You suffer it for the word of truth. You suffer it for the word of the Most High. Just know that it's part of it. As deceivers, hear this now, as deceivers and yet true. This one is kind of hard to explain, but let me do my best at it. If somebody is in sin and you, without sinning, portray the word of Elohim in such a way that it fools them and causes them to believe the truth, or they claim that you're a deceiver, but you're giving them the truth. So he's saying, suffer these things for the ministry, for the word of Elohim, for the word of truth, as unknown and yet known. You ain't trying to be somebody up in the word, but still people know about you. They know who you are, but you're not trying to be somebody. It's not your motivation. You know, if you were doing this for fame and fortune, you were doing it to be known. He says, you really should want to be unknown. I'm just a worker. I'm just a saint in the Most High. As dying, and behold, we live. So in other words, these are all opposites, and you got to know the truth about it. You have life. Even though you may be required to give up your life for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ, dying, you still are alive. He's going to raise you back up again. You know you have life. The word of truth. You got to gird yourself with it. You got to know what the truth is. You got to know that you have to be long-suffering. If you get chastised and not killed, but even if you get chastised and killed, so he's telling you, you got to be willing to suffer all things for the ministry of the Most High and for the word of truth. I pray we can hear this. Got 9:46. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. The book of Matthew, chapter 22. And we'll get verse 16. So this is the Herodians. The Herodians were who were in charge. The Edomites, the sons of Esau, were in charge of Israel when Messiah came. It was not the house of Judah. It was not the house of David. It was the Edomites that had gained power. And they were known as the Herodians. And they were put in power by the Romans. We need a governor over the land of Judea. And the Edomites stepped up. So you didn't have the house of David ruling when the Romans ruled. You had the house of Esau ruling. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, Messiah, and teachest the way of Elohim in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. He's our example. We're to teach this word in truth. The same way Messiah taught it, in truth. When they came to him and tried to tempt him, is it good for us to pay taxes? To pay tribute to Rome? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God. Give to Elohim what belongs to him. You don't tell somebody, no, you don't got to pay taxes when they're in a land that requires them to pay the taxes. That's the penalty you're up under. You're in a land that requires you to pay taxes, pay your taxes. And still render to Elohim what belongs to Elohim. We'll pay the government. They don't even give you a choice. They just take it right out your money. We ain't giving you a choice. We're going to take it right out of your check. But then when it comes to the Most High Elohim, then we want to pay him as we can, as we want to or don't want to. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and render to God or Elohim what belongs to him. So the first thing you should be running and doing is giving the Most High his. After Caesar then took his. Because Caesar said, I got physical control over you. I ain't giving you a choice. I'm taking mine. More or less telling you, let your Elohim get his. And if we're not faithful to give it to him, he says, will a man rob me? How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You didn't bring me mine. The man took his, but as my disciple, as my servant, you need to bring me mine. You want me to bless you? You want me to say that you're obedient? You want me to rebuke the destroyer on your behalf? Then you got to be obedient. But Messiah said we got to teach the truth. He taught the truth. He understood the world that he was in. He understood what society was doing. He understood the wickedness. He understood that a lot of those people were possessed by unclean spirits. Somehow today we have fallen back and a lot of those people are mentally ill. A lot of people strung out on drugs, they are addicted to drugs, when the truth of the matter is there's a spirit behind it. Need deliverance, they need deliverance from that spirit, and those other things will go away. Go to John chapter 18. The book of John chapter 18. Let's look what Pilate had to say to Messiah about this truth. And who Messiah says hears his voice, who is able to actually hear him and understand. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? He's getting ready to, you know, the people have brought Messiah to him to crucify. We want to crucify him. Not for what he's done, but for who he said he is. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. They knew clearly what he was professing. And they should have known by the scriptures that the scriptures taught them that their Elohim was going to come in the flesh. Their God was going to come in the flesh. That's what he told Isaiah to prophesy about. Prophesy about John announcing the arrival of Elohim in the earth. Now, when this comes to pass, then you're going to know it's this prophet because he got to say certain things that have been prophesied for him to say. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. When they heard that, they should have understood, wait a minute. This is not just another prophet, but this is a special prophet that has been told us is going to announce the arrival of our Messiah. And they should have known that John was told to announce the arrival of Elohim himself. That's what the voice crying in the wind was supposed to announce. So here is Pilate. The people have captured Messiah, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, the chief priests, the powers to be. They have turned him over to the Romans. And Pilate is like, let me ask a few questions. Are you a king then? Yeshua answered, you say that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. His whole ministry was about setting the truth in order, about unscrambling what they had done to the law by bringing back the intent of the law, that this is what should be in your heart, not to do evil. I shouldn't have to tell you, you shouldn't have to commit the physical act of fornication or adultery. It should be in your heart not to do it. So in the law it says, I had it put in there, you had to have two or three witnesses to put somebody to death. But in this new covenant, no, I don't need two or three witnesses when I judge you. Ain't nobody else going to judge you. I'm going to judge you. And when I judge you, I'm going to look at your heart. I'm going to be the only witness, the only advocate for you, for or against you. And I'm going to look at your heart. And if it, in your heart you intended to do that thing, you are guilty. You lusted after that woman, you wasn't married to her. You are guilty. It was in your heart to do it. The truth, I came to witness unto that, to reveal the Father to you, how he intends the relationship to be. I'm going to do it from the position of a son. This is how I want my sons and my daughters to act. Why he came in the form of a man, not just to die for us, but to be an example to us. This is why we try to be his disciple. We try to be like Big Brother. Let me learn how you did this, how you overcame, how you walk without sin. Let me emulate you. You brought the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, everyone that is of the truth, hears my voice. Everybody's not of the truth. Everybody don't want the truth. It is not, the truth is not given to everyone to understand. Messiah told us over and over and over again, I speak to them in parables because it's not given to them to understand the truth. Many are called, but few are chosen. I'm doing the calling and I'm doing the choosing. And I'm giving understanding to those that I choose. I'm giving truth to those that I choose. Many will read these words and won't be able to understand them. They'll come to an understanding, but it won't be the one of the truth. Because they don't really want to believe the truth. I see it in their hearts. They don't really want to believe the truth. So everyone that is of the truth, they are the ones that hear Messiah's voice and what he intends, what he wants. Give me your whole heart. If you are of the truth, you can hear that and you will do it. You won't just hear it and say, yeah, I heard it, but I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to act on it. Because you will hear the truth and you will do it. You will not just be a hearer of the word. You will be a doer of the word. You'll be a doer of the truth. You will know that the scriptures say, I got to do this with my whole heart. That's girded around your loins. It's cemented in your mind. It's what you're operating off of. But if you're not of the truth, you can hear that, but you really didn't hear it because you're really not going to do it. And when the Most High says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers, hearers only, then all we got to do is look at each other's actions. What do we actually do? Because we can say one thing. We can have say one thing out of our mouth. But our actions show something else. Our actions show what's really in our heart. Our actions show do we really hear his voice? Messiah, I didn't think you really meant that. Why didn't you do it? Well, I heard it, but it just didn't seem like it took all that. I should have been able to just do this right here, and it was sufficient. Is that what I said? No, but doggone it, I thought I was doing the right thing. It was what I could do. Get away from me. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. You claim you know me, but you don't know me. You claim you hear me, but you don't hear the truth in my words. You don't understand that what I said to you is what I mean. You want to do what's right in your own eyes. Go to Romans chapter 2, and we'll end up on this. Actually, we'll end up on Romans chapter 1, but let's go to Romans chapter 2. So warning, a warning to those that do not hold the truth in righteousness, because we're supposed to gird ourselves with the truth. And what is truth? The word of the Most High is truth. And he gives us a warning in the scriptures concerning not holding his word in truth, in righteousness. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 17. And it says, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. This is the way to start it. This is the way it will always be. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and rest in the law. You say you're a Jew and you keep the law. You say you are a Hebrew Israelite and you keep the law, and make thy boast of Elohim, and know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself are a guide to the blind, those that don't know the law. You say you're a guide to them. You want to tell them how much they need to keep the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. We're the people of the book. You say you are a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Gird yourself in truth. You saying you got the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You say you keep the law. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. And then you struggling. Thou therefore which teaches another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? I'm not going to read the rest of that because it's more of the same. Are you saying one thing, claiming to be the people of the book, claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite, and you're struggling with keeping the law yourself, not obeying, just want to claim that you're his people, and not doing what he said to do? Well, we're human. Get out of here. That's what he's going to say. Get away from me. You claiming to be all that in a bag of chips, claiming to know me, and the very things that you are teaching against, you're doing. The very things that you say don't do, you do. The very things you say that should be done, you don't do. That's a warning. So if we find ourselves in that position, So we need to straighten up right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. And forever. And then we are a Gentile and we claim we want to be part of Israel. But we don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We want to take them. Oh, you got to do that. But I can be a part of, but I don't really have to do all that. And my God will forgive me. No, he won't. Because the same law applies to you. There shall be one law. For he that is homeborn and the stranger can't say that you want to be part of Israel, can't say that you're replacing the natural branches. And the Most High got a different standard for the natural branches than he has for the branches that are being grafted in. Being grafted into the same tree with the same requirements. So do you say, don't steal, don't fornicate, and then you do those things? Do you say, don't lie and don't cheat, and then you do those things? The same way for the Hebrew, who says, I got the law, and it was given to me, given to my forefathers. You can't teach me, Gentile. I got to teach you, and I don't do what I'm teaching you. And then you don't do it either. Doesn't work. It ends up like, let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 16. This is a warning. Because we're supposed to gird ourselves with the truth. It's part of our armor. You can't fight without this. You can't come to the Most High half-dressed or going to battle half-dressed and think that you're going to win. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or Mashiach, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation. We already read this on the other night. Christ is not a who, but a what. Christ is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this is not just talking about people from Greece. The Greek represents all of the Gentile nations, represents all the nations that are not Israel. Hamite, Jebusite, or Japheth, all of seed of Abraham that are of other nations other than Israel. That's who that Greek represents. All other peoples. For therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of Elohim, the wrath of Elohim, and this is what you're supposed to be afraid of. This is what you're being saved from. The wrath of Elohim. When I ask people, what are you being saved from? My sin. What is your sin going to get you? The wrath of Elohim is what it's going to get you. This is what you're being saved from. His wrath. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Know what the scriptures say. Allow to see it. Still don't do it. Warning. Better take this serious, because the wrath of Elohim is going to come upon you. And whether you see it while you're still taking your breath or you see it after he resurrects you, you're going to see his wrath. This is what you're being saved from. When somebody says, I'm saved, they better understand that they're being saved from the wrath of the Most High. And they're saved because they have stopped sinning. And they have come up under the blood of Messiah. He says, I paid that debt off for you. Don't go back and get in debt again. Don't bring yourself back up under the wrath of Elohim. So I pray we can get this and understand it. You are saved from his wrath. And his wrath is going to be revealed against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. Against all men, that's mankind, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So don't think you can know this, hear this, be a hearer of it and not a doer of it. Because if you're not a doer of it, you're going to see his wrath. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them. Got a form of godliness. Got a seal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For Elohim has showed it unto them. So Elohim is allowing you to see this. Don't let Elohim show you this and allow you to see it and then don't do it. Elohim's not going to care what you say is in your heart. Elohim's going to look at it and say, what was in your heart? You did exactly what was in your heart. And I told you, you're going to incur my wrath because you held the truth in unrighteousness. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even the animals know this. The trees know it. They obey. The only thing in disobedience to the Most High, the only thing in unbelief with the Most High is man. I said, I've allowed you to see this, to hear it and see it and understand it. Don't hold that truth in unrighteousness and don't do it. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know who he is. You even know who he is in the flesh. It has been revealed to you. Yeshua HaMashiach is the Most High Elohim in the flesh. You are without excuse. I came and I died for you. I allowed this body to be put to death for you. I had the power to raise it back up because of who I am. So I let you kill something so that I could take out my wrath that I want to take out on you. I took it out on this body that I made for myself. And I took my own anger out on me for your sake. And you're just going to look at that and treat it as nothing? Treat it as it don't really mean anything and you can just continue doing what you were doing. And when you're ready to say, I'm sorry, then you say, I'm sorry. when you knew that you were doing wrong and you knew what I would do to you for doing wrong? You know all these things and you are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim. Verse 21. For that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim. Glorified him as something in their mind, but not Elohim, not the true and living Elohim. Because surely, if we knew, we would not do what we had done or are doing. Neither were thankful, unappreciative, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Can't even discern what true righteousness is. Got exposed to it. Shown what it is. Choose to uphold the truth in unrighteousness, and it causes your heart, every time that you are disobedient, to become more desensitized to the truth and to his righteousness. Causes your understanding to become more and more darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore Elohim gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim to a lie, and worship and serve the creature, and more than the creator, who was blessed forevermore. When we change the truth of Elohim into a lie, when we hold the truth in unrighteousness, when we don't know and learn to fear him, we just start making up stuff. We make up stuff in our own mind, and we start worshiping things. We may not even be aware of it. That aren't him. And when we get to that so much darkness, then, oh, this cross is God. This whatever is God, is Elohim. This picture on the wall, I think this about Elohim, and this is my Elohim, and my Elohim wouldn't do this, and my Elohim wouldn't do that. My Elohim will do this for me, and my Elohim will be all forgiving, and he will be all merciful, and he will love me no matter what I do. You're making up a God in your own mind because you're in darkness. Because you have changed the truth of Elohim into a lie. And instead of girding your loins with the truth, you have girded your loins with a lie. And if it be the will of Elohim on this morning, if there be anyone that finds themselves in this condition, I pray even right now that Elohim removes the lie from your mind and allow you to see the truth and allow you to repent for his name's sake, not for your sake, but for his sake. For his name. Father, remove the blinders from them. Let their life become a testimony toward you and to you how you opened their eyes and allowed them to see. And that they will be a witness for you, a true witness. That they would teach men everywhere to fear you and to obey your voice in all that you say. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The truth. What is the truth? The word of Elohim is the truth. Gird yourself with it, saints. Believe everything that is written. Believe everything that the Most High sends to you. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Obey the truth, and you shall inherit eternal life in the kingdom of the Most High. Keep the truth and turn it into a lie. Incur the wrath. Incur the curse of the Most High. As we close out on today, the scripture says, if Yah be for you, if he's for you, who can be against you? But if Yah is against you, who can be for you? Who gonna save you? Seek Yah. Seek him in truth with your whole heart. Make him the priority in your life. Because to do otherwise is to incur his wrath. There ain't no in-between. There ain't no on the fence. You on the fence, you in the lake. You just wait and need somebody to push you on over in there. That's what's going to happen. So while you are on the fence and ain't nobody pushed you into the lake, choose to serve the Most High with your whole heart. To turn yourself over to him wholly and to obey his word in truth. Study. Ask. He says he will give it to you. He will send someone to you. But don't change his word, his truth, into a lie. Don't hold his truth in unrighteousness by knowing it and then not doing it. Don't try to hold somebody else to it and you yourself don't do it. May the Most High bless each and every one of you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again on this evening, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. And I cannot do for you what the Most High will do for you or against you. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Somebody help me. Kingdom will
everything that lives and breeds. You made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. Without you, there's no.